Your name can convey so much about you. It can give clues about where you're from, where your family originated. Your name can also be misleading. Here's a story about a man from upstate New York whose name doesn't match people's expectations of him, and until recently, his name made it harder for him to find his place. Ryan Schisler has his story.
Bob Shabanowitz is used to people making assumptions about him.
In many places, my father never revealed what we were.
What they weren't was Jewish, though many people assume they were because of their last name. Shabanowitz grew up in West Elmira in upstate New York.
All my friends were Jewish. You know, I went to all the bar mitzvahs and everything. They just assumed I was Jewish, although they may never have asked why we never, you know, went to services or anything.
The Shabanowitz family is actually Muslim. They came from one of Europe's oldest Muslim communities, the Lipka Tatars. The Lipka Tatars have lived in the Baltic region for more than 600 years. For most of his life, Bob kept quiet about his identity. His family faced anti-Semitic discrimination, like the time they had trouble buying a house because the seller thought they were Jewish. In college, Bob felt other Muslim students who were from the Middle East or South Asia excluded him, as if he wasn't a real Muslim because of his Polish culture.
Then after, you know, 9/11, everything changed.
After 9/11, Bob started questioning his religion, and the Islamophobic backlash in America made him keep it even more hidden. Today, Bob is in a motorcycle club in rural Pennsylvania, and some of his fellow riders make anti-Muslim comments, calling them terrorists or worse.
They will say things on Facebook because they don't know I'm Muslim. Again, they assume because of my last name that I'm Jewish, and so I sometimes feel guilty about that, you know.
Bob is 66 and recently retired. Last year, the Lipka Mosque in Brooklyn that his grandparents helped found organized a pilgrimage to Poland, Lithuania, and Belarus. He decided to go. On the first day of the trip, the group celebrated the Islamic New Year in the Polish city of Bialystok. They chanted the Tekbir, a proclamation of faith, with dozens of Polish Lipkas. It took Bob back to his childhood in the Brooklyn Mosque, when he says the air felt electric during the Tekbir. For decades, world wars and the Iron Curtain cut the American Lipkas off from their European kin. But Bob knew that his mother had written to her first cousin in Lithuania for years, so he brought one of her letters with him on the trip.
My mother used to write to a Fanny.
At a Muslim cemetery in the Lithuanian countryside, he shows it to a local man.
I know this woman.
Is she still alive?
She's still alive. She's 92 years.
92?
I have address if you...
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, if you want...
Is that the address, do you think? That's where we used to write.
No, they live in Vilnius now.
Okay.
The next day, Bob heads to Vilnius to meet his mother's cousin, Felicia, and her family. Felicia's grandson, Andras, is the only one who speaks English well enough to converse with Bob.
I thought I remember my father saying they had to write a lot of letters to Khrushchev in order to get your grandparents to come to America. And then finally they came and your grandmother decided not to come.
They didn't allow her to come.
Oh, they didn't.
Felicia, it turns out, is a bit of a celebrity in the local Lipka community. She was born in Brooklyn, but moved to Lithuania with her parents as a child. After World War II, she tried to return to the U.S. with her husband, but the Soviets wouldn't allow it. Instead, they were sent to work in Siberia for 10 years. Felicia is upset that Bob and his sister Judy didn't write her after their mother died.
She's asking why Judy didn't write to Felicia that your mother died.
My mother died, yeah.
Why didn't she inform us? Like, why?
I don't think she lost the address.
Oh, she lost the address. Gali būt, kad dėl to, kad persikraustėt.
She also chided Bob for not knowing Lithuanian. But when it came time to leave, she grabbed his hand and said, "Don't forget about me." Bob didn't find any more relatives on his trip to the Baltic, but in nearly every village he visited, there was someone named Shabanowitz. A few months after the trip, I called Bob to see how he's processed the experience.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine.
For the first time in his life, he had visited a place where his last name was not an oddity.
There are so many friggin' Shabanowitzes, and the spellings are all different, and
He's been entrenched in research about his family's history since then, and is connected with even more newly found relatives in Europe. He says he doesn't feel any more religious, but he is prouder of his heritage.
I feel as if I shouldn't shroud myself in secrecy, you know, anymore. But then again, I don't feel like I have to go out with a big banner, too, that says, hey, I'm Muslim.
Because of the trip, Bob says he doesn't feel like he has to justify who he is anymore. And that feeling, he says, is liberating. For the world, I'm Ryan Schisler.